from scratch, from scratch, from scratch, from scratch, from scratch.
Welcome to the From Scratch podcast. I'm Martin Cousins and...
My name is Nigel Payne.
In this episode, we're going to be talking about some research from the Learning Guild in the US. It's entitled Adaptive and Personalized Learning Experiences, and it's been authored by Chad Udall and Dr. Jennifer Murphy. Now, for listeners who don't know, the Guild research from the Learning Guild is free to access. You can register, but you don't have to be a paid up member to access it. And it has some really interesting reports, and it has a library of some great stuff. So it comes as a big recommendation from me. It probably does from you, Nigel. Don't want to put words in your mouth. But today, Nigel has highlighted a piece of research on adaptive learning. And Nigel, what are your thoughts on what you've read?
Well, first of all, I always pay attention to anything the Guild produces because their research reports are excellent. Jane Bozarth is the director of research, and I'm a great fan of Jane. And everything they do is evidence-based and thoughtful. And this is evidence-based and thoughtful. And it's essentially scoping the domain of adaptive learning. And it talks about the three levels of adaptive learning, from simple decision trees to a rules-based model to the one that we're pretty much all interested in, which is machine learning, essentially. And what it's saying is that my interpretation anyway is that anyone who isn't looking at this and understanding the domain and implementing at least some kind of individualization and adaptation of learning is kind of crazy, because it's relatively simple and straightforward. Everybody's doing it. It's built into, for example, any learning experience platform that you could shake a stick at has all of that, and some of the orthodox LMSs. So they say, quite rightly, that it's really good for developing individual skills and knowledge. It's really helpful to free up instructor time trying to work everything out individually, because it's set up for them. It's really good for managing content. Not so good for organizations that aren't prepared to gather data. Not so good for things that require lots of hands-on, people to work hands-on all together. And you need a good, solid infrastructure, tech infrastructure to manage all this stuff. It's here to stay. They highlight that in a very dispassionate way. And basically, we're moving towards it. They're saying that most organizations have some kind of adaptation, but surprisingly, not all. And this is, I think it's a kind of cry for action. You know, come on, what's the matter with you? Start to get involved in this. What did you think, Martin? How did you get on with it?
Yeah, I thought it was interesting for lots of those reasons. I think also there is some research within this report. So there's a study, and that is quite illuminating, actually, in terms of where organisations are at on this. Asked, how is your organisation currently personalising learning for your employees? 44% say we don't currently do that. So there's a big rump of organisations that aren't doing it at all. Only 17% say that their learning platform provides that. And I think I then forward on to this question, which is, if you're planning on starting to use adaptive learning technology, what's your timeline? 48.7%, we haven't established a timeline yet. 10% a year or more away, 20% within the next 6 to 12 months. I think actually what this is telling us is that this whole concept of adaptive learning or personalized and adaptive learning is really super new to a huge rump of organizations. And So I think this report is useful if you are in that category, because, you know, it's the concept is probably one that we would all agree with. It's a bit, if you and this report does talk about actual face-to-face adaptive learning, you know, in terms of instructors and what they do. If you look at it from a face-to-face perspective, it would be like having a coach with you, you know, telling you, you know, what you need to do next, where to look, you know, what kind of activities you need to do to get to the next level. These kinds of things, these concepts aren't alien to learning and development. I think what is alien is how technology is facilitating that now. And I think that although it's very exciting, we still have to have some caution around this, because this is possible now because of machine learning and AI. That's what this is about, really, on the technology side. But the technology isn't there yet. I mean, it's fast developing in, and there will be some providers that would probably shout out, say, that's not true. I think, excuse me, overall, this is still relatively new technology in this domain. And, you know, I don't think it's quite as mature as some people might have it. So actually, understanding how a personalized and adaptive experience is being delivered using AI is something that you might want to start thinking about now. You know, how do you explain what the AI is doing to get you from there to there, you know, as an employee? I mean, you need to understand that, and you need to have the data to flow into it so it can provide that experience. You also need the intelligence. You did talk about data, and I think this is hugely important now. If learning teams are shying away from data, then that is time to sort of face up to the fact that you're not really going to be doing effective adaptive learning facilitated by technology unless you are really putting the data in. So you get the intelligence out. So
it's data, you know, in, but also storing data, analyzing data, managing data, knowing what you're doing with data, all of that stuff. So yes, it's a focus on a much bigger picture, which is essentially using analytics to help L&D function. And this is one byproduct of that in a way. But you're right to highlight, Martin, that 44.7 aren't doing anything. So it's half are doing it, or over half are doing something. 44.7 don't appear to be doing very, very much. And out of the ones doing it, they're doing it in different ways for different groups in the organization and so on. But what I like about the report is, and all Learning Guild reports, is that they are quiet, calm, and authoritative. And they always finish with a nice bibliography. So if you're someone who's coming to this for the first time, you can go to the bibliography, and there it is. There's all the a number of key reports and pieces of research that you should understand and at least know something about. They're clear about their methodology as well, all up front. So it's like they're like a stick that will help enable and facilitate L&D. They help you get along more smoothly, and they're not trying to sell you anything. They're absolutely not trying to sell you anything. They're not saying this is the way you have to go, or this is the way you shouldn't go. They're saying this is what's happening. These are the stats we've got. Go for it or not. But that makes it, I think it gives it kind of calm authority. And I would like everybody in L&D to sign up to the Learning Guild and read these reports. They churn them out. There's about once every 2 months, a new research report emerges. And I read the vast majority of them. And I've never really read one and thought, what is the point of this? Or I don't agree with that. Or where's the evidence here? They're always really thorough.
Yeah. Well, I think maybe we should end it there, Nigel. I think it's a useful read, sparks an interesting discussion for us, and is thought-provoking and also quite practical and accessible, as you've just said. So I think it's well worth investigating if this is an area that you're interested currently. Yep. Thanks, Nigel.
Thank you, Martin. 30 pages, well worth digesting. And just go to the Learning Guild. You can join very simply, and all of their reports are available for you. Thanks, Martin. Always good to talk.
From scratch.